I guess it came early on with drinking gin and tonics with my granny. And it was at our wedding when my husband was having a nice little drink of Dutch courage with granny that we had the idea that we could actually produce it ourselves.
So that idea came from your wedding day?
Yeah, it did. It was coincidental too. My brother-in-law was there. He established the Lark Distillery, and my husband had just finished an aquaculture degree, and so we recognised that he had the skills in he'd done chefing, but he's also got the plumbing, the water quality, the chemistry that would all come in handy in starting a distillery.
And the move to Kangaroo Island also started just the idea just after the wedding as well.
We came here on our honeymoon and fell in love with the place, as a number of people do, and thought that this would be the ideal location to set up something like this. The island in itself is still very much in its infancy in the food and the wine scene, so it's a really good time to establish something like this here.
So what was the process of getting this to where it is today?
It's been a very slow process. We got our license 9 years ago with the assistance of my brother-in-law. We started with a couple of liqueurs that did really well. We then established a relationship with the bartender in the Hilton in Adelaide, very much passionate about South Australian produce. And we would take our early batches of gin to him to get his opinion, and he gave us advice on how to improve on it. And when we got his nod of approval, we released our wild gin with the native juniper.
How much taste testing was happening back when you were first starting?
That was the fun part. Yeah, definitely a lot of taste testing. We would say that the business was just John and myself, and our tasting body was a couple of hundred people that were happy to become friends and help give us advice on tasting.
Can you run us through the process of how you make gin here in the Cellador?
Yep, we start with a neutral grape spirit. We get that from Tarek in the Barossa. That's a 96%, so that's pretty much our blank canvas. We'll put that through the still first on its own, and that is important. There's a reaction with the copper, which will make it smoother. And then the next distillation is where we add all the botanicals. So in our wild gin, there's a dozen, including the native juniper, and the majority of them sit in a basket in the neck of the still. So as the alcohol evaporates, it pushes its way through and takes the oils with it. We collect it in a vessel. We're only putting through about 17, 18 litres at a time. And once that gets tested, we dilute it back to the 43%. So it's not a great deal that we're making, but it's all made with a lot of passion.
Did you have to do much study into how to make this, or it was just all sort of hands-on learning as you went?
We did a lot of research in drinking other gins, but in terms of learning the processes, it's very much been learning on the job. We did get a funding from the Food and Beverage Fund to travel to Europe. We did a week's work with a distillery in Sweden, and then went to a couple of gin distilleries in the UK, which was a fantastic experience for us. But pretty much we've learnt on the job as we've gone.
How was it getting a licence for this here?
That one was quite a few hoops to jump through, and we were grateful to get the assistance of John's brother, who'd he actually had the first boutique distillery licence in Australia. He had to have the laws changed to get his licence, but it was definitely with his help that we were able to get that without too much difficulty. However, I'm glad that we got it when we did, because I feel that they've made it a lot more difficult since then.
So there are a lot more boutique distilleries popping up now?
Yes, there are. There are at least a couple more now within South Australia. Another one that we're a friend of ours actually is establishing just near Victor Harbour. So but around Australia, they're popping up all over the place. So it's a really exciting time.
We're just inside here and the smells, there's lots of little different smells here and there. And what are some of the herbs and spices that you use as part of your gin?
Well, we've got the two different gins that we're producing at the moment. In the wild gin, the main botanicals in there are the juniper, the coriander, the angelica, and then the other botanicals are quite traditional, apart from the bubiella. And then our O gin, we've gone quite away from the traditional. We've introduced O'Leary, which is a coastal daisy, a native plant to Australia. Then we've used a few of the beach organic peppers, that the Cuba pepper, the long pepper, give it a nice spice to it. And a little bit of heat in there as well. And something called a tonka bean, which comes from South America, which has that amazing marzipan flavour to it.
What do people say when they come in and try it? What's their reaction?
We are really enjoying people's reactions, especially when they pull up and they see this rustic shed and think that it can't be that amazing that what's in there. And a lot of people come in that are not gin drinkers and taste our gin. We encourage people to try it neat, and it's a fantastic gin that is smooth but has a lot of complex flavours in there that just work really nicely together. And it's great being able to surprise people with that.
How long did it take to market your gin and get it out there, because you're now selling Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne as well?
It has taken us some time. We have started small. We've only invested our own money into the business. So when we were first starting the gin, while it was doing really well through Europe, in Australia, people still had the notion that gin was old people's drink. So it's taken some time, and it's really started to take off now that there's other gin producers around Australia that are making premium gins. And people are recognising that it isn't just one particular flavour, that each gin can have something absolutely unique and exciting about it. So it's, really starting to take off now around Australia. While we're not using distributors, people are actually approaching us and buying directly from us.
And there's a photo of a brand new still that's, I imagine, is arriving soon, and that's to help with their potential export.
Exactly. So while the still that we're producing with now, we're only doing 18 litres at a time, the new still that's being made in Tasmania has a capacity of 300 litres. We really want to be able to export our product. One of our largest costs is excise here in Australia, and so being able to get our product overseas, we don't have to pay our excise, and it just will mean that we'll be able to make the income here that we can maintain a small and family-run business here, but profitably.
And so what does your granny think of this? Does she like having the contacts with gin?
Oh, absolutely. She had her 95th birthday just the other year, and we made her a very special old lady's gin with a photo of her as a young lady on it, and she's just ordered another bottle from me. She loves it. She's very passionate about our gin.